Today is the first day of a brand new life, so open your mind to healthy living. And now, here's your hosts, Dr. Shmuel Israel and Diane Q on the all-new WGCR.us.
Welcome to Open Your Mind to Healthy Living. This is Dr. Israel.
Hi, everyone. This is Diane Q.
And we are brought to you by Healthy Habits by Design and the Center for Health Promotion and Enhancement. And health promotion is the process of enabling people to increase control over and improve their health. And that is one of the things that we certainly want to do with this show, and that is our goal and that is our focus. Our show, the information that you receive on this show is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. And we have a guest today, a very distinguished guest, and we're going to be talking about his research with lactoferrin. And our guest is Dr. Naidu, Dr. Naran Naidu. How are you, Dr. Naidu?
Hi, Diane Q and Dr. Israel. It is wonderful to talk to you and wonderful to be on your show.
Yeah, we really appreciate you being on our show. A little bit about Dr. Naidu. He is a medical microbiologist with more than 20 years of experience studying antimicrobials. His research on milk lactoferrin began in Sweden during the mid-1980s, and he has published more than 50 peer-reviewed scientific papers in this area. Dr. Naidu has served as a professor on faculties of universities in Europe, Asia, and the United States. A fellow or member of numerous professional and scientific societies, Dr. Naidu serves as a research consultant to public health agencies and major pharmaceutical and medical enterprises worldwide. His expertise has made Dr. Naidu a highly sought-after speaker at universities and scientific organizations, as well as a respected member of advisory panels and several multinational corporations. Dr. Naidu has been awarded several patents in health-related applications, and his discoveries are the basis for founding of 4 biotech companies. That is a
That's quite a whole lot. You've been busy.
Yeah.
And balancing that off with family also, right,
yeah,
Dr. Naidu?
Yeah, yeah. Very, very, very tough. Very dedicated. Thank you. And I would say... really, who outside of the scientific world almost knows what lactoferrin is? And it's so important to our daily health, and we just take it for granted. And it's found in some of the things that we consume, but what and why is it a value of having it in a more of a concentrated form and encouraged to have better health? So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Naidu, you are known for your research with lactoferrin and its benefits in the area of food safety. What is lactoferrin, and what was your research objective in the use of lactoferrin?
Well, bumping into lactoferrin accidentally happened. Actually, it was whether it's an accident or serendipity in mid-80s when I was in Sweden, when I started working as a consultant for a major Scandinavian dairy company. I came across lactoferrin, and I thought that I could solve a problem probably by the weekend, and here I am.
Oh, my goodness sakes. That's great.
And we were the first people to actually to isolate lactoferrin on a commercial basis and try to find a proper use for lactoferrin. Particularly in infant food formulae.
Ah, so now that we have it,
yeah.
Why exactly are we going to use it?
Originally, our idea was knowing that lactoferrin is in mother's breast milk, knowing that globally one of the biggest problems, even till to date, is infantile diarrhea, knowing that certain mothers do not have proper protective factors in their milk, and the protective factor happens to be lactoferrin that we have identified in mid-80s.
Hmm. So some mothers have a lower percentage of that in their mother's milk?
Lactoferrin lactoferrin is one of the major components in mother's milk that not only protects an infant, but it is the essential nutrient factor for the growth and development of a newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
And the children are not able to, especially infants, for the first 3 months, they are not able to produce lactoferrin or some of their protective factors in their body. So they are supplemented.
Ah.
And it is something like a bell curve. As we are born, we are not able to produce several important growth factors and components like lactoferrin. And we peak as we grow. And then as we age, again, it falls down. We are not able to have certain kinds of protective factors, certain kinds of bodily mechanisms we are not able to perform. And components such as lactoferrin levels, they drop down.
Hmm.
And that is by design in our mammalian body systems.
So are you saying that when we look at baby formula, for example, how much lactoferrin is in?
Yeah, that was the first thing that came to
baby
my
formula.
Mind. Yeah.
Yeah. The theory or the concept that I have been working for the last 20-plus years, which will come to fruition hopefully in the coming years, mm-hmm. is the bio-replenishment theory. What are those important ingredients or important components or biochemicals in our human body that comes from our birth? And as we grow and as we develop into adults and then go through our later ages of our life, which are the chemicals that change? Which are the chemicals that modulate? Which are the chemicals that decline? How these chemicals influence our aging process and our health and ultimately our entire lifestyle? This has been one of our main focuses for the past 20-plus years. And we have identified some of those chemicals, and lactoferrin happens to be one of those very important chemicals that is there in our body even before we are born. And this molecule is so important throughout the development of the from the fetus to our old age, till to our last day, this molecule stays, and it has been expended in our body on a daily basis, every hour, every minute. As we are talking right now, lactoferrin is being expended in our body, and it has to be replenished. It has to be produced by our body. But knowing the kind of chemical environment we are now living in, synthetic environment we are living in, whether we are able to produce that lactoferrin that is necessary or that is important in the right kind of amounts, that is a question. So bio-replenishment becomes very, very important.
So it's not only for the newborn, it's also for those who want to stay healthy and, I would just say, vainly age a little more gracefully, which is a good thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A newborn is at risk because a newborn doesn't have all the protective mechanisms. And we people, we are reprogramming ourselves into the same risk. We are almost like newborns all our life because with the kind of new chemicals that we have been introducing into our environment in the past 100 century, we have introduced more than a million chemicals and our body doesn't know how to process those chemicals. So same is like an infant who doesn't know how to process the chemicals or the microorganisms in his or her environment.
Mm-hmm.
We are under the same scenario. We are now like newborns every day exposed to newer chemicals, and our body doesn't know how to process them. So it becomes very, very important that we have some strong way of supporting our body with the kinds of protective mechanisms what the nature has already equipped us, or the nature has already bestowed upon us. Bio-replenishment theory goes to that fundamental principle of how we could support our body with bio-replenishments.
Okay, so bio-replenishment is a very important concept, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you are adding something like a supplement or anything like that. You are basically replacing what the body has lost.
Processes several chemicals from the environment, whatever foods we eat, For instance, if we are eating a hamburger, or if you are taking a chicken sandwich or a turkey sandwich, every day, whatever chemicals we are taking in, that doesn't make us. Eating a turkey sandwich doesn't make us a turkey.
Good thing.
Processed in our body. Our body uses our own processing mechanisms, chops them or cuts them into smaller components, and then utilizes them to build its own chemicals. And these chemicals are all supplements. Any chemical that we take exogenously, let that be a spinach or let that be a mineral compound you take, or whatever, a calcium tablet you take, or a chicken sandwich or your pizza, whatever you take, these chemicals are processed and incorporated into our body by our own mechanisms. These are all nutrients and nutritional supplements. Whereas a bioreplenishment is, it is our body's own chemical, our own signature chemical that our systems make, and how to put them back into our body in an exogenous manner through specific mechanisms or transport mechanisms. That is bioreplenishment.
That is very distinctive. So looking at that, are there other types of lactoferrin, or how many types of lactoferrin are there?
First of all, lactoferrin, it is the fundamental molecule, or a fundamental bioreplenishment in our, not only in our body, in several mammalian systems. And lactoferrin name, it is a misnomer in a way. Lacto sounds as milk and ferrin sounds as iron. So when it was first identified, the name came in. However, lactoferrin has been discovered and rediscovered by several scientists, and it is found in various bodily secretions. It is found in your tears. The taste of lactoferrin is, you can close your eyes and taste your saliva. That is where lactoferrin is. And lactoferrin is there in your gastric mucosa. Lactoferrin is in your cerebrospinal fluid. It is there in every inch of your body. For example, when there is an inflammatory response, the red color you see is lactoferrin. Lactoferrin is also there in your neutrophils. So lactoferrin is everywhere in your body at different concentrations with different kinds of other chemicals. The kind of lactoferrin that is there in saliva is different, has a different environment. It is like if you try to talk about Mozart, Mozart can do different compositions and the instruments would change. Similarly, lactoferrin, depending upon in which kind of symphony it is in, there are different instruments that would play around lactoferrin and make it work.
And when you observed all these different directions, are these the things that you observed in your laboratory and through your studies? You touched on all these body fluids and found lactoferrin?
Absolutely. We have, we studied lactoferrin in its isolated chemical form. It was from milk. And then we started looking into lactoferrin in saliva. We started looking lactoferrin in neutrophils. And to the extent that we started looking lactoferrin from different mammalian species, you'll be surprised that we looked lactoferrin from camels.
Oh, well, anything that that feeds off of its parent.
Yes. And then we also looked lactoferrin in mares, and you'll be even surprised, we even milked mice to get them.
That's a tough job.
And the toughest job is yet to come. We even milked tigers to look into Royal Bengal tigers.
No kidding.
Lactoferrin, yes.
Would that have been in India?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Goodness sakes. And, you know, lactoferrin in all these different mammals are not all equal.
They are not equal. Yeah. Even even if you try to take lactoferrin, say, for example, you have a glass of milk and ask 10 scientists to come and isolate lactoferrin.
And we're talking about cow's milk?
Let us say cow's milk.
Sure.
Or even a human breast milk, let us say. A human breast milk.
Uh-huh.
Ask 10 scientists to isolate lactoferrin from that breast milk.
And what will they find?
And each one of them, depending upon the kind of purification process, the kind of equipment they use, the lactoferrin may come different. The lactoferrin, because as I told you, lactoferrin is present in different kinds of bodily fluids.
Mm-hmm.
So it is chemically, it is the structure of lactoferrin. It is like taking a sponge or something, and or some kind of a thread or something, and trying to put into different liquids. The thread would probably uncoil, or it will stay in different kinds of shapes depending upon which liquid you put in. Similarly, lactoferrin, since it is the three-dimensional structure of lactoferrin would change depending upon what kind of isolation method you would use. There are at least 15 to 20 different kinds of isolation methods. Every company has its own patented process that they would isolate lactoferrin from milk in a different way. And the most important aspect is how you would reconstitute lactoferrin in its active format. That is one of the technologies that we have been working, and we have been successful in doing almost some 12 years ago, how we can restructure lactoferrin once it is isolated and bring it to a particular, lock it up in a particular structure format.
Okay.
Lactoferrin is like a key. How to, if you try to take your Mercedes-Benz and try to hit it with a hammer,
it won't go.
Your car, the car won't start. It should have all its ridges, and it should have all its crests and curves, so that it will fit into the key.
Yes.
And then it will start. Same thing for, not only for lactoferrin, any active, bioactive molecule comes with an expiry date. Chemicals are also living molecules.
Mm-hmm.
They have a structure function property. If you do not have the chemical in its right structure, it would not function. The key does not go in, and it would not open the door. So for lactoferrin, since it has a multifunctional property, since it can open up several doors in several parts of the body, you should be absolutely be certain that once when you are taking lactoferrin from a particular source, how you would restructure, how what kind of care you would take, first of all, to isolate lactoferrin, but two is how you reconstitute lactoferrin back, and how you use it so that it is not in some kind of a denatured form, a chemical structure that you don't want, or it has already been completely, the molecule has already expired and has no function at all.
Well, I look forward to hearing why adding lactoferrin, additional lactoferrin to our diet, what's the value? What's the real value? Why is it a plus?
It depends upon, again, as your earlier question, there are different kinds of lactoferrin, so to speak, depending upon different bodily fluids. And for that kind of lactoferrin to be delivered, you need to exercise some kind of technology, because you are exogenously, you are trying to replenish lactoferrin back into the body. So depending upon where you want lactoferrin to work, you need to lock that structure into that particular format and provide lactoferrin. Just taking lactoferrin from milk does not really do the job. Taking lactoferrin and say that, well, let lactoferrin work in your saliva, probably do not work, because you drank the milk and it's already passed the oral cavity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want lactoferrin to work in your cerebrospinal fluid, we don't know whether this lactoferrin even would cross the intestinal tract. We don't know even that lactoferrin is in a proper format, because the milk has been pasteurized, or the milk has been standing in your grocery for some time, and milk has been no nutrient value, perhaps.
Right, so not all lactoferrin is created equally.
Absolutely right. I could agree with you on that.
So what you're saying is that our bodily systems produce lactoferrin for a certain function, and if we decided to take milk, for example, and say we want to use it for saliva or tears, we want to promote that, it doesn't necessarily mean that the lactoferrin that we ingest in milk in its regular form would do so.
You're absolutely right. What has to be done is, first of all, only healthy mammals produce healthy lactoferrin. Lactoferrin is almost like an indicator of a health status of a mammalian. So the first thing that comes in is you need to identify any individual, like the reason why we found lactoferrin the way we found it is knowing that mother's breast milk cannot protect children in certain countries because the mother's nutrition is not right, her health status is not right, so she could not produce the right kind of lactoferrin, or a dysfunctional lactoferrin is being produced. That applies also to all the milk and dairy animals and cows and so on. So you cannot expect a good quality of lactoferrin to be produced until unless you have a stress-free, a disease-free, an animal that can produce, give milk that can contain healthy molecules.
Okay.
So that is number one. And number two is how you could use some specific mechanisms or isolation mechanisms that you could isolate or you could take lactoferrin from this healthy milk in a process or in a manner that you have a fully functional lactoferrin. And the third one is how you could deliver it without compromising or without affecting some of its functions or any of its functions, so to speak.
Yeah, without losing the value.
And the value is it all depends upon all these components put together.
Sure.
And at the end, then how somebody is using this lactoferrin after doing everything. If you haven't stored your abusing your capsules or your lactoferrin, if you have left your lactoferrin in your car and let the lactoferrin fry in a hot temperature, it's a protein. It will denature. So at every step, you need to be careful that you are not abusing a very important biochemical so fundamental to your life. You cannot pop up lactoferrin into your mouth with some kind of an alcohol or some kind of a hot liquid.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to exercise some care that treat these molecules with a lot of respect and a lot of care, and they will take care of you.
Well, especially if you want to have the optimum value of taking that, you know, you're not going to want to do steps 1, 2, 3, 4 that are negative to your health and then expect this to come to the rescue.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and all these things that we add to our health are also a cost investment. So if you want the best value for your investment, you need to honor what you're doing.
Absolutely. Our lifestyle, whatever we do, whatever we breathe, whatever we drink, and whatever we eat, every day, whatever you do, either it is an advantage or a liability.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes, it's either for you or against you. And we have all these choices to make.
Yes, and all these systems, every day, whatever time you are expending on yourself, in terms of your nutrition, in terms of your lifestyle, it is an investment for your own body.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, this is a good place to take a break.
Yeah.
And
can I just stop in and just mention Dr. Israel's website, which is nikken.com/healthyhabits. And if you want to look under nutrition, you're going to see some great info too.
Okay, you're listening to Open Your Mind to Healthy Living with Dr. Israel, Diane Q, and we're interviewing Dr. Naidu.
And we'll be right back.
On WGCR.us.
look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
The bare necessities of healthy living are easier than you think.
You better believe it.
It all starts with the right balance of being active and eating well.
You eat ants?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
And the food pyramid shows you the way. With just the right amount of exercise and the necessary grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans to keep you and your family on a path to good health.
Just the bare necessities of life.
Just remember, every food group, every day.
Crazy.
Start by taking small steps. Steps that add up to a happier, healthier life. Try making half your grains whole. Or start adding fruit to breakfast.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
So eat right.
Have a banana.
Be active.
Now move. That's it.
And have lots of fun.
Yeah, man.
For your own path to a healthier you, visit mypyramid.gov.
Oh, man, this is really living.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ag Council.
My name is Pat Truax, and when I want to check in and learn more about healthy living, I listen to Open Your Mind, Healthy Living, with Diane Q and Dr. Israel on WGCR.us.
And welcome back. And we're having a conversation about lactoferrin research with Dr. Naidu.
Yeah, Dr. Naureen Naidu. What an eye-opening thing we're working on here. I'm going to really take attention, actually, to calcium-rich foods and enjoy this lactoferrin, too.
Hey, Dr. Naidu, you founded NNTech to perform research on novel antimicrobial agents and their potential application in food safety, oral health, animal sciences, water quality, and public health.
Now, antimicrobial, why don't you just chop that up a little bit? Let's have a description of antimicrobial.
Yeah.
How little is it?
And we started this lactoferrin research. That time I was already working on several new diseases, emerging diseases. And as I told you, one of my primary goals that time was infantile diarrhea. 20 million children, infants, they get this infliction, and about 2 to 4 million children, they die every year.
Oh.
Most of them are rotaviruses and E. coli.
So, oh, boy, sure. And then they start dehydrating.
Yes.
Yeah.
And E. coli and these pathogens have been one of my main focuses, and lactoferrin, how it could protect infants. That is how the antimicrobial research started for me.
Ah, I see. So you brought in the warriors, huh?
Yeah. And then there's something happened in the United States after I moved to the United States in 1992 from Sweden.
Oh, my. Wow.
And it might look very interesting. Exactly the day when President Clinton was sworn in at Washington, D.C., and the other Washington in Seattle area,
yes,
a few children, they got sick and died with hemolytic uremic syndrome eating hamburgers.
Okay.
And it was an E. coli. And
okay.
I started working with E. coli, especially the one in the hamburgers that causes hemolytic uremic syndrome.
Are you talking about typically purchased like fast food, or are you talking about that just being purchased in grocery stores and going home and maybe not being cooked properly?
It was called as the infamous I don't want to name the fast food, but it was.
Uh-huh.
I have to say it was a Jack in the Box incident, they call it.
I see. Okay.
And after that, the entire the food safety inspection services of United States, the entire laws on food safety were rewritten, and that was the time I was being brought in to look into how lactoferrin as a natural antimicrobial could combat this illness, attacked beef and these meat products, especially ground beef and hamburgers.
Yeah, I think they use like 60,000 head of cattle a day to make all that beef in the U.S. It's pretty shocking.
So that was the food safety aspect of lactoferrin, and that is where lactoferrin got its notoriety and so-called the entire food safety antimicrobial applications of lactoferrin has started. The work was so big that I had to leave the university and I had to start NNTech in year 2000.
Oh, boy. So you wanted to use it as kind of kicking in the immune system. Is that a good way to look at it?
And what we have to do here was something very unique that nobody has done before. That is, a cow does not require Dr. Naidu, or it does not require any protection. A cow doesn't get hemolytic uremic syndrome. Mm-hmm. The E. coli in a cow is protected. The cow is protected by its own mechanisms.
Ah.
However, when we go and slaughter the animal, when we dehydrate the animal, when you wash away all its protective factors, lactoferrin also is gone away from the cow.
Ah, I see.
So what we came up with is how we could take lactoferrin from an exogenous source and put it back onto the cow as if the entire cow has got its own protective, natural protective mechanism back so that it can protect itself as if it were alive. So that was, it might look like some kind of a sci-fi movie.
It does. What would that look like?
And that is how the entire, the new aspect of using lactoferrin for food safety has started. And that opened up several doors and several awareness.
Sure it did, yes.
Groups all over the world on lactoferrin and its potential uses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how lactoferrin applications have started. And we started exploring how to put lactoferrin on surgical sutures, how we can use lactoferrin on skin creams, how we can use lactoferrin in oral healthcare products. As we are talking right now, about 3 months ago, there is a lactoferrin-based oral health product introduced in Asia, in Japan.
Yes.
And doing very well, I was told.
Okay. And what does the lactoferrin do to these pathogenic bacteria? In other words, these bacteria that can cause you to get sick?
Yeah, the concept that we developed was we don't want to kill a life form. In our body, the way lactoferrin works is not, as an antimicrobial, not like a penicillin or not like the antibiotics or the chlorines or the pesticides that we are known to use in our environment. The way it works in the intestinal tract is it is called microbial blocking activity. Means, in a way, it establishes a balance. It detaches the microorganisms or pathogenic organisms, especially, from the surface and take them out and leaves them out. So,
Very scientific. All I know is I take it out of the take it out of that cute little container, that little cute little white and gold container, and pop it in my mouth. Oh my goodness sakes! All the hard work that goes behind all that. And you thought this was going to be a weekend project for you for that company in Sweden, and the weekend turned into 12 years?
Not 12 years. It almost 20 plus years.
Oh, 20 plus years. My goodness sakes.
12 years. It almost sounds like yesterday, and it was 20
years.
Yes.
Wow. It's wonderful.
And so you were saying that you take this lactoferrin, and you're using it to block these microorganisms so that they don't work.
Yeah, two ways. Number one is absolutely right, Dr. Israel. One is to block any microorganisms to attach to biological surfaces such as a meat surface or to our body surface. That is one. And number two, if something has already been stuck to the body surface, to detach them. And we don't want it to kill. It is like, I always give this example. If you have a hamburger, on the hamburger, if there is a fly, if you swat the fly is dead.
Oh, on top of the hamburger?
Yeah. For
example.
So okay. If you have a fly, if you swat the fly is dead. Would you eat the hamburger with a dead fly on it? No. Similarly, we cannot have an E. coli or a bacteria on a surface, and you use some kind of an antibiotic and then or some kind of an antimicrobial system, you kill it, or you kill it by heat or by radiation or something, and you're eating the hamburger with the E. coli or with the bacteria. That is the concept. When we got in, we said that microbial blocking agents, that is how the nature does, it takes away, cleans away the surface, doesn't kill and leave the residue or the dead bodies of the bacteria on a biological surface. That's how we took care of it that time.
Wow.
Okay, so when you block or detach this bacteria, do you wash it off or what happens? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That is absolutely a very bad question. After we detach it, the body does it automatically in the intestinal tract. But on a beef surface, what we need to do is we need to have a washing step that comes in, a spray that comes in and washes this immobilized bacteria, detached bacteria from the surface.
Okay. And how long does that last, when you wash it from the meat surface?
The entire coating of the surface, it takes in less than 2 seconds, and then the entire washing, everything goes in another couple of seconds, done.
Okay.
Because in a beef processing plant, you don't have that much of time. Everything happens in a very time constraint. Quickly, everything has to happen. So that was our work that time, and that was now quite long time ago now.
Okay, so then once you wash it, it takes a few seconds. How long does that application last?
That application lasts for, we have done tests for almost for 3 months, 6 months, and it's still, after the coating, the meat is still protected for quite some time, for months.
Okay. And so what you did, too, also was in your research, you segued that into looking at its importance for intestinal health. And how is the lactoferrin important for intestinal health?
Well, there are two things. Whatever we did earlier, that is a totally a different technology, and that technology is using lactoferrin in an immobilized form to work outside the body. Now, we are talking about a different technology now.
Yes,
this
right.
is a totally different technology. How to make lactoferrin work inside the body.
Yes.
This kind of lactoferrin is not an immobilized lactoferrin. We are not talking about a dead cow or a beef surface, or we are not talking about some kind of a skin surface, or
yes.
we are not talking about a oral, some kind of a surface.
You're talking about a living thing now.
Now we are talking about a living thing.
Yes.
And here the system is a little different. The system is you need to make lactoferrin do a different function depending upon what you want it to do, knowing that lactoferrin has a different so-called symphonies or the music it has to play at a different sites. So how to take lactoferrin inside the body, how to move lactoferrin to a bone joint, or how to move lactoferrin into the brain or into a cerebrospinal fluid. So here we are talking about a oral supplementation route or a oral dosage route, and how you can protect lactoferrin not being digested or not being done something with your acid in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Or so all those factors come in. So it is a altogether a different technology from the one that I explained to you on food safety.
Yeah.
There are apples and oranges. Not even apples and oranges. Apples